is here. I've asked EPA Administrator Bill Riley to coordinate the long-range planning to restore the environment of the Sound. EPA will draw on the expert of leading scientists and oil spill experts in this work, and will also consult with other federal agencies that are assessing scientific data regarding the effects of the spill. We'll not forget the residents of Alaska who have suffered extraordinary economic loss. And when you talk to these congressmen, as I have, and get it brought home on case-by-case basis, we have to be concerned, and we are concerned. In addition to paying damage claims against it, we encourage Exxon to increase its local hiring for the cleanup efforts. Secretary Skinner will also work with Exxon and appropriate agencies to develop appropriate loan assistance programs to assist those who have suffered economic injury. This situation has demonstrated the inadequacy of existing contingency plans. And consequently, I have directed a nationwide review of contingency plans of this type to determine improvements that may be necessary. In describing these measures, we should not be under any illusions. The job of cleaning up the oil from both the sea and the affected land areas will be massive, prolonged, and frustrating. Nothing we can do will totally resolve this problem in the short term. Rather, we must be prepared for a long, sustained effort. Learning from this experience, we also rededicate ourselves to transportation safety and to realistic planning for accidents that do occur. At the same time, our national security interest in the domestic energy supplies should not be forgotten. The excellent safety record that was recorded prior to this incident must be restored and maintained consistently into the future. Secretary Skinner and Administrator Riley will make brief statements, and they, Secretary Cheney and others, will be available to answer questions. Prior to that, let me just take a couple of questions, and then I want to keep the focus, if possible, on this. So fire away. Yeah. Oh, my protocol. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Terry, yeah, I'll be here.
If I could try another subject, how do you reconcile your efforts to arrange third country military aid for the Contras with the spirit of the ban by Congress on aid to the rebels?
Look, I'm not going to comment on any aspect of the North trial, what's in progress. If I even commented on your question, it could prejudice the trial. It's going to be, that would be totally unfair. And I would note that of all the material that you seem to be referring to and has been introduced, all the material that was introduced yesterday, material you're referring to, has been available to the Independent Counsel and the Iran-Contra Committee and has been reviewed by them for any special significance. So I believe the legal process ought to run unfettered without you or me endangering the trial process that's going on right now, and that's the last question I'll take on that subject. Yes, right here, and then to Frank.
Do you have any reply to Mr. Robertson's intention for
foreign policy? This is an environmental briefing here, and we're concerned about the Alaska oil spill, but the answer is no. Let me simply say, we're the United States of America. We're making a prudent review, and I will be ready to discuss that with the Soviets when we are ready. And so, and Mr. Gorbachev knows that there's no foot dragging going on, so I'm not concerned in the least. Now we go.
Okay. A number of local officials in Alaska, as well as Alaskan residents, have been complaining virtually since this spill took place for a greater federal role. I guess my question would be, why has it taken so long to reach this conclusion, and hasn't valuable time been lost during your deliberation?
Well, as you may recall, action started immediately. The big thing was to get the ship, stop the hemorrhaging, and get that ship moved. I immediately asked the head of the Coast Guard, the head of the Department of Transportation, and Bill Riley to go up there. They came back and upon sound advice, recommended that we not federalize, and let me be clear, we are not federalizing this operation. There is no demand from reasonable people to federalize this operation, and that is not going to be done. So what have we done? The flow was stopped, and let me be very clear, I give great credit, certainly in some of those that are working out there, volunteers, private side, local citizens, company and everything else for stopping, but I also give great credit to the Coast Guard and to military assets that have already been used in moving equipment thousands of miles to stop the flow. And I'll tell you, a lot has been done. I've had a talk here with Bill Riley about protecting the hatcheries, and I don't want to make premature judgments on this, but it looks like the five hatcheries may have been saved. And now is that an overstatement? And now the cleanup phase comes, and it's the time when we can step up some activity. So something has gone on. I'm not about to defend the status quo, but there is no desire on our part to federalize. We're not going to do it. And I think it's fair to point this out. I think the priorities were right. There is four times as much oil in that ship as spilled out of that ship. And it was important to stop, to be guarantee, even in rough elements up there, that no more escape. And so some things have happened. It was prudent to contain that spill. And so the process is going forward. Yeah, Brett.
Do you have a sense yet of how much this federal effort is going to cost? And will you try to recover from Exxon that amount?
As I said, Exxon is liable, and they will continue to be liable, and we don't at this point have a full assessment. Leslie?
Yes, sir.
The court on that, sir?
Sir?
Follow up and take him to court.
I think Exxon is assumed liability, and I'm not going to stand here and suggest otherwise.
Mr. President, Mr. Gorbachev today made another arms control gesture, saying that he'll stop production of weapons-grade uranium and shut down two plutonium plants. What's your response or reaction?
I'm giving you my response. We'll be ready to react when we feel like reacting, and when we have prudently made our reviews upon which to act.
So, and then what do you think of his proposal or his offer? Is this a big step forward?
I haven't seen it analyzed, Leslie, so I honestly can't tell you that I know the full significance. John?
I know if you don't want to talk about it, but Senator Muskie, former Senator Muskie, who is a member of the Tower Commission, says he was not aware of this effort to involve the Hondurans or of your role. You have said this was available to the Tower Commission. Want to reply to that without prejudicing Oliver North?
No. Because I don't want to prejudice the trial, John. It would be imprudent for us to do that, and we're not going to do it. And I stand by my statement about the Iran-Contra Committee. That's it.
Mr. President, the conventional wisdom is that an American president never has much to gain by getting personally involved in the Middle East. But I was thinking that maybe that you were an exception given your initial round this week. Can you tell us what's in your mind about the Middle East if you see yourself getting very personally involved over the course of your presidency and trying to solve this?
Look, if I felt that being immersed in it would help solve the problem of peace in the Middle East, I would do that. And I think you're right. There have been times when it appears that the president shouldn't be fully involved. But we've had two visits here now this week. President Mubarak, Prime Minister Shamir, will have a forthcoming visit from King Hussein. And I'm going to give the same assurances to him I've given to Mubarak and Shamir, and that is that if I personally can be helpful, I want to do it. And in the meantime, I will say that I can't say I'm elated, but in the Middle East, a little step sometimes can be proved to be fruitful. And I hope that, I think the climate is better than it's been in a while. But I would simply say it is not a time where a lot of high visibility missions on the part of the president can can accommodate, can be helpful in the process. But I want to leave the, I want to leave you with the view that that it is of deep concern to us, particularly the violence in the West Bank. And so, and I think both leaders that I've talked to so far know my personal feelings on this, and we're not despairing. In fact, I hope the two visits have moved things forward a little bit. Saul?
Do your statements today mean that you won't discuss this Contra affair?
Yeah, it means I've said all I want to say about it. Look, we're having a briefing on Alaska, and with all respect, did they cut you off? Come on, Saul.
Won't discuss it until the end of the Ollie North trial.
I said all I want to say about it, because I really believe, on the advice of lawyers, that that's the last thing we ought to do, is even be kicking it around to this end. So please accept it when I said I don't want to talk about it anymore, and I'm not going to. So nice try. No, I just let it stand. Go back and interpret what I said. Yeah.
Do you believe the PLO should have a role in those independent elections in Israel or in West Bank?
I think that the answer is to get on with the elections, and I'd like to, we haven't fully resolved exactly who's going to have a role, but I think that's a matter to be determined by the, between the parties, but I'd leave it right there. I'd leave it right there. The PLO has people living on the West Bank, as you know, and we want to see elections that are free and fair there. Yeah, Dave?
Mr. President, was your statement this week about Israel ending the occupation intended as sort of a diplomatic nudge to Prime Minister Shamir? Should we read something into that?
I wouldn't read anything into it. I do not feel that the provisions of Security Council Resolution 242 and 338 have been fulfilled, and I wanted to be clear to all the parties in the Middle East that that is my view. And I've will hold the part as best the U.S. can hold the parties to a full implementation of those resolutions. And so what I was signaling is that the territory that has been ceded for peace is not the the end. It simply isn't. Yeah, Ellen.
And then Tom, and then we'll go up here.
Mr. President, you've used words like deadly, tragic, and disastrous to describe this oil spill. During the campaign, you said you were an environmentalist. Have you had any opportunity to rethink your commitment to building the Arctic Wildlife Refuge as a result of this disaster?
Yeah, I've had the opportunity.
And what have you decided, sir?
No, I don't think that you compromise the genuine national security interests of this country. And I don't think that you can predicate a sound national energy policy on an aberration that seemed to have taken place in the in Prince William Sound. And my, if for those that do, I say, please let me follow logically. Are you suggesting, because of the alleged human error of a pilot of a ship in Prince William Sound, that we shut down all the offshore production in the Gulf of Mexico? Is that the suggestion? If so, I oppose it. And I think we've got to do what I said in this statement. Do everything humanly possible, here and elsewhere, on land and on sea, to see that we have the soundest environmental practice and reserve in terms of putting out fires or stemming the flow of oil that leaks out, gets away. But I am not going to suggest that because of this, we should rethink a policy of the of trying to get this country less dependent on foreign oil.
Yeah. President, you said earlier that you don't want to defend the status quo in Alaska. You sounded sometimes like you're defending Exxon. Are you satisfied with their performance since the spill?
What have they done wrong? What could they have done better?
Let these experts tell you.
Not satisfied with anything about it when we have a risk to the environment like this,
because Ellen was telling you the correct, correctly. I feel very, very strongly about the damage to our environment there, to the fisheries, to the lives of people involved there. into all of that. So I am not totally satisfied. Yeah, I'm going to take two more. We're taking too much time away from the people that are really most thoroughly involved with this. Besides, they were getting off Marlon's schedule. Thank you for your understanding.
Let me make one more subject change, if I may, sir. You've said a couple of times your minimum wage offer is your last and best. Does that mean you feel that the package being debated on the Hill now, the Democrats' package, is worse than no bill at all, sir?
Well, there are several packages being debated, but I've told you, in terms of the increase and the length of time for the training wage, we did something unusual. We fired our best shot and last shot and only shot first. And I'd like to take this opportunity to say what I heard several of our leaders saying yesterday after the meeting. I have no intention of budging one inch on this, and I got too much at stake to change right now, and I'm not going to. And so that's what we've done, and I know it's an unusual procedure. The Secretary of Labor made her position very, very clear in this, and there we are. Yeah.
I was going to ask one last question on this bill. You said that the cleanup would be protracted. How long do you think it's going to take? Number of years? And is there any real expectation this will ever be cleaned up?
Well, I think we've got to hope that it is. I think Santa Barbara, I would say, has been pretty well cleaned up. I'd say that the spill of the Amoco Cadiz, which was six times as big as this, has been cleaned up. And so we've got to aspire to standards that make me be able to tell the people of Alaska and people that are concerned all over this country, yes, we can shoot for that standard, and we have history to point to. But I think what we do now will determine how fast we can say that it has been done. And that's why we want to move as quickly. We got it. All right, last one in the middle. Owen, sorry, Tom.
Can you tell me if you believe the political agreement reached in Poland this week could be a model for political reforms throughout Eastern Europe? And can we anticipate another visit to either Poland or Eastern Europe by you this summer or this spring?
No two Eastern European countries are the same. The striving for change in some, if not all, of these countries is the same. But I would say that the roundtable development there in Poland is very positive, and I would certainly commend the parties getting together there. I go back to when we were there not very many months ago, and many of you were with me on that trip. I think the situation has moved so fast since that trip that I took a year or two ago that it's mind-boggling. And to think that you'd see Jaruzelski shaking hands with Lech Wałęsa, we couldn't have predicted that a couple of years ago. Why? Because I was lectured very firmly about the Solidarność being, quote, outlawed, unquote. So things are moving. And I think it's a sign of the change that democracy and democratization, if you will, and elections and parliaments and congresses and is on the move. And this is in recognition of a trade union's rights to bargain. This is all very encouraging. But what it means to the other Eastern European countries, and I simply can't tell you. In terms of my own plans, we have not formulated any plans yet. I'd love to go back to Poland sometime. I'd love to go back there, but there's no such plan. I really do have to run, and I'll just turn this over now to Sam Skinner, and I know they'll, and the congressmen and senators.
Ted, thank you very much, Mr. President.
Not at all. Well, good luck, and
thank you very much, Mr. President.
We want to help, and we care.
President Bush, in an impromptu news conference, announcing that there will be military forces that will be applied to the cleanup efforts in the Alaskan oil spill now. Coast Guard Admiral Paul Yost will himself go to Alaska, where he will direct the forces, and Transportation Secretary Samuel Skinner will be the man who will coordinate the efforts of all agencies. But he made a point several times of saying that it is Exxon that will be liable for the costs of all the damages. Reporters tried to ask him about the Oliver North trial. He refused several times to comment on it at all. Documents introduced yesterday at the trial suggested that then Vice President Bush had a role in the Reagan administration's efforts to provide aid to the Nicaraguan Contras despite a congressional ban. One other note, Queen Elizabeth has accepted an invitation from Soviet President Gorbachev to visit Moscow. The invitation was made at a lunch at Windsor Castle during his visit to London. This will be the first visit of British royalty to the Soviet Union since the Bolshevik Revolution. Both of those stories, of course, will be covered in full on World News Tonight with Peter Jennings, and Peter Jennings will be profiling ABC's Person of the Week. But for now, I'm Forrest Sawyer in New York. Good morning.